to minute 59 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, Tom is unfortunately still in the cooler, so he'll hopefully be back with us on Monday. But joining me today is award-winning documentary director Dana Nachman. Welcome back, Dana.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been a fun week. You know, we still got another 2 days, so hopefully we have some fascinating things to continue to discuss about this movie.
Yes.
All right. So minute 59 begins with Henley asking for a light and goes all the way till Henley and Werner discuss the Boy Scouts. Basically, yesterday we had the very beginning of this little scene. We just had a few seconds that we're dealing with it. We had Henley walking out of the room, taking a look at the fact that Werner's looking out the window. Again, we're not sure what he's looking at. Probably just looking at the cameraman or whatever. Because there probably isn't very much on the other end in reality.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I do love this shot. This is like one of my favorite shots. I love the way it's framed, you know, literally in a frame, each of them. I mean, I love the beginning of it where he's standing in the background and then he walks up. It's just such a great scene. I love the way that is done.
How do you think they did this outside or it's on a set?
No, I think it's on a set. Because the lighting, if that were to be outside, it would be nighttime, right? Which is funny.
I don't know. We don't know what time of day this would be.
I know, just look on the sides, like it's very dark over there, right?
Okay.
If you look on the sides outside, to me that looks indoors, and then there's light shining on them, which would be like the sun, but it just doesn't, if it was the sun, the rest of the outside would be brighter.
Right.
So I think that's a set. I think there's a light shining on them to pretend that it's the thing, and they didn't light the rest of it.
Right. Because also, I mean, you can see the shadows on the both window panes on both sides.
Correct.
The windowsills are both opened, and both sides have shadows on them.
Yes. Yeah. So I do love that shot. It just is. It doesn't really read, but it's not something that I totally noticed when I was watching it. But like, if you take it to the microscope, like we're doing, you can kind of tell it's not outside.
Right. That's true. So Henley walks up and basically says, "Sir, you got a light?" Werner obliges, you know, takes out a lighter to light up. Then Henley begins a little bit of chit chat with him. You know, he goes, "Oh, it's pretty, isn't it?" The answer is yes. Now, wait a second. They're in a POW camp. What are they looking at that's so pretty?
The weather. I don't know. I mean, but also it's like, you know, makes me think about what was their relationship like before, you know? I mean, have they already established that they're friendly, or is this like a first kind of dabbling with friendship or what?
Right. This is the first time. I mean, the only time that they interacted beforehand was when Werner saw him looking into a truck right on the first day. And Henley, at that point, he asked Henley what he was doing, and Henley said he's stealing tools. You know, he says as a joke that he's stealing tools. And Werner's response was, "Oh, if you're stealing tools, you go to the cooler." And he says, "No, no, no, I'm just kidding." So, I mean, they have interacted before. Whether, you know, on camera, off camera, it's
right.
Possible that they've had some interactions also. My guess is they haven't had that much, because the way that he approaches him, he doesn't approach him as a friend.
Right.
You know, he's approaching him as somebody who he's noticed, but he hasn't established a friendship with. Again, it goes back to the analogy that we started talking about yesterday, you know, that here you have James Garner, you know, coming in into the room in a suave way, you know, about to go, you know, make some moves on some woman standing at a bar or at a party or something like that. So it's someone that you noticed and that they might have noticed you. But I don't think that they have established a real relationship between the two of them up to this point, based on the type of conversation that they're having here.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing I wonder, too, is, like, why did they choose him to be, like, you know, do they think he's kind of a dumb cough, you know, or is he, like...
I'm assuming that that's the reason they chose him.
Yeah, they don't really go into it.
Exactly. In the real book, there were numerous guards that they buttered up, were able to get things from. So it could have been, you know, he's just an example of one of them. And to make him seem a little lightheaded, I guess, makes it a little easier for them to keep things so much fun.
Right.
You know, the tone of the movie is not a dark tone, which is what you would expect from a World War II type movie.
I love that part of it. That's like one of my favorite aspects of it.
Exactly. I mean, they find ways, and this scene is a perfect example of that, where they're able to make the situation seem as if it's not as bad as it probably really was.
I think that's a main, you know, sometimes people ask me about directing and what, you know, where do the different roles in a film, you know, where do they intersect? And I think it's interesting with this one, and I don't know enough about how it was made, but like, you know, this could be really the director's stamp on it to tonally make it lighter, more accessible for more audience, you know, especially in terms of age. And I think that's interesting because you could take, like you just said, a subject matter like this and make it super dark, you know.
Which they've done. I mean, there's plenty of other
right.
movies that deal with POW camps that are much darker.
I think about that all the time in my work is, you know, what's the tone of it and the subject matter dictates the tone to some degree, but not all the degrees, you know? And so I think that's a way to always, I'm actually thinking about that now as something I'm working on is how can I make it lighter, more accessible? Not because nobody really, especially after what everybody's just been through, wants to watch something super dark and depressed. I don't, maybe people do. I mean, there's tons of dark stuff right now.
Well, come on. You saw all the movies that were nominated for Oscars this year. Obviously everyone wants to see dark and disturbing things.
Yeah, but I mean, no, like, I don't know. I mean, they all had like some positive, you know, lightness to them, I think, too.
Yeah. No, I didn't say they're not enjoyable, yeah. But they were, you know, they were all heavier than what people are necessarily looking for in a I won't say post-COVID world, but a creeping towards post-COVID world. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But again, let's go back to what they're saying here. I mean, they're having a discussion about something being pretty in a POW camp.
Yeah.
You know, are they looking at the trees? Are they looking at, like, they're very limited in what they could be looking at.
Right. Well, they reference the weather, right? The sky and the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do get to the weather.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Right. So basically they start with that. And then right after he asks that question, he like blows smoke in his face. You know, it seems like something that would not be very nice to do it this way, but you know, we know why he's doing it. He's trying to entice him to, okay, you know, remember we discussed it earlier this week that they had six packets of cigarettes that they can use.
You know, it's like when the smoke goes and then it's like right under his nose and then you see him look. Yeah. It's so funny.
And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Would you actually like one?
And it was almost like he waited, or I mean, at least the way, I mean, he's standing kind of behind him, but like you could see like the guard smells in, like it was like a call and response, you know. It was funny.
Exactly. No, the idea is that, okay, we you know, the guard himself also wants a smoke.
Right.
You know, there's no question about that. And just the way that they do it is done so well, because you know, the characters, yes, play it, you know, that actually get a little bit of a sniff of the smoke. And then, you know, after that, you know, he offers him a cigarette and his response is, all right, I'll do it. You know, I'll keep it and I'll smoke it when I'm off duty.
Right.
Which is nice of him to say it that way. You know, I guess he wants to try and show, you know, that, you know, when he's on duty, he doesn't do things that he's not supposed to be doing. We know that that's not necessarily true. That's what it is. And then, you know, Henley takes out two more and says, and puts it into his pocket and says to him, well, you probably have a few roommates. Now, I always misunderstood this line. I always thought that he was saying, you know, maybe your cigarette needs a few roommates. Meaning, here's a few more for you, that type of thing. You know, it's like a light way of saying, all right, here, I'm going to give you a few more.
Right.
But what he actually says is, you probably have roommates. Meaning that if you're going to go smoking and you're going to go back to your barracks, Your friends are going to want also.
Right. Yeah. You know,
that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that, you know, I've seen this movie so many times and this is the first time that I actually noticed that's exactly what, you know, what they're discussing.
Right.
Or the way that it's discussed. You know, then they start talking about the weather, like you said, you know, beautiful day. And then the response is, oh, I think it's going to rain later. You know, then they get into a little more of a philosophical conversation, but with Henley saying, oh, no, you got it wrong. It's the phrase is, red sky in the morning, sailor takes warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. And he says, it was a red sky last night. Now, I don't really know what that really means by a red sky. You know, when the sun goes down at sunset, you're always going to have, if there's a little bit of cloud cover or whatever, you're going to see that it's red. But even if it's not, I think you would notice. I don't know. I've seen a lot of sunsets. Most of them are red, aren't they?
Well, if they're in California and they're during smoke season, yes, definitely.
It's only going to be red if it's in smoke season?
It's usually, like, I think, pollution in the air, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For the most part, yeah.
All right.
But now, isn't he saying red sky in the morning? Is that what he says?
He says red sky in the morning, sailor takes warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Right.
But then you have a red sky.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense to me. I guess if you're saying because of its cloud cover, maybe you would see that it's red in the morning also. Don't know. Now,
I think we need to consult a sailor on this.
Yeah, probably. Now, where would you do you know where this comes from? This phrase.
I do not know.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't know before we started doing this. Nope. I actually looked it up, and there are two very famous literary places that mention something very similar. One of them is from Shakespeare, and the other one's from the Bible. In the New Testament, it's mentioned. So the quote from Shakespeare, it's in Venus and Adonis. So the quote there is, like a red morn that ever yet betokened, wreck to the seamen, tempest to the field, sorrow to the shepherds, woe unto the birds, gusts and foul flaws to herdmen and to herds. Now, I have no idea what that means. I've never understood Shakespeare. You know, for all the Shakespeare fans who are listening to this, hopefully you understood what I just said, because I really didn't. Did you understand it, Dana?
No, I would have to really,
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, that's true. And the same way the second one comes from a quote in the Bible from the New Testament in Matthew through 16, verses 2 through 3. Where Jesus says, when in evening ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Now, that actually sounds much more similar to what Henley is actually saying here.
Yes.
So I wonder if the writer actually, took it from there.
Huh.
'Cause it sounds very similar to that.
Or maybe it also was something they knew from the Boy Scouts.
It could be, yeah. Because they now are going to mention the Boy Scouts, because basically Werner says that he's never heard that before. Then they get into a conversation about the Boy Scouts, which is, it's a fun conversation because of the fact of the way that they're each trying to one-up the other.
Right.
You know, because what this scene does is it takes two people that are not supposed to be on a level playing field and tries to put them on a level playing field. Because,
right.
You have a guard and a prisoner. So what Henley is doing here is trying to bridge the gap between them and make it seem as if they can be more friendly. And Werner goes, oh, I was a Boy Scout too. He said he has 19 merit badges. And the response is, oh, well, you had 19, I had 20. So at that point, Werner basically says, well, I was working on my 20th when they abolished scouting. So I was actually surprised about the whole fact of, that there were Boy Scouts in Germany. It's a known fact that they had Boy Scouts in America.
Right, yeah, I had no idea about that.
I mean, the Boy Scouts were established in America in, like, the 1920s or something. I don't even remember when it started, but what I did find out was that there are 7 different levels of scouts. The highest one, which is the Eagle Scout, you need 21 merit badges to get there.
They were close.
So it's exactly. It's funny that I wonder if it's something that they planned.
Oh, I bet they did. Yeah.
To do it this way. because they're making it so close.
Yeah, it's funny. He looks so dejected when he realized he was one less, you know? Like, he looks, it's funny. There's a little competition.
Right, no, so it started in 1916, the idea of the Boy Scouts. So we're still talking about, you know, it's about 30, a little less than 30 years by the time these events are taking place, since this is supposed to be in 1944. Right, so the Eagle Scout needs, it says that the Boy Scouts were established in 1911. And that since then, so we're talking 110 years, there have been 2 million young men that have reached Eagle Scout, you know, where they need to get 21 merit badges in order to reach that level. So that was interesting to come across. Now, then, as we discussed before, the idea of whether this was an international group or not, so they actually branched out outside of the U.S., began having things in Europe also, and Germany was one of the places where it was started in the, I think it was 1921, they established it in Germany, but when you know, the Nazis came to power, so one of the things that they were doing was trying to get rid of all these different organized religious groups, and this is one of the ones that was banned, which it's something that we'll talk about a little bit tomorrow, where we get to that a little bit more about it. So it makes me wonder how old Werner is supposed to be at this point. If he says that he was a Boy Scout before it was banned. Because if it was banned in 1936, let's say, or 37, so now we're 7 years later, you know, he doesn't look that young. I mean, the actor who plays in Robert Graff was close to 40 when they filmed this.
He looks pretty young, though.
Yeah, he doesn't look 40. No. There's no question about that. It's always made me wonder, because a little later on, there's a scene where Henley basically says that, you know, that Werner, he's a mixed-up kid.
Hmm.
Even though the actor who plays Werner is 10 years older than James Garner is at the time.
Yeah.
So it's funny that he makes that type of comment. You know, trying to do the math, it just doesn't make sense that he's this young, even if he could, I don't even think he can even be 20 at that point, with the way that, you know, he doesn't look 20.
Right. A little off this topic, I just want to say what we were talking about earlier about the outside didn't look like it was outside, actually. But the interesting thing in this shot is, from this angle, is that you can see in the reflection of the window, it does look like there's trees, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, so I wonder if they've I still kind of stand by that I think it's inside there, but they really have gone to the lengths to make that seem like, seem like it's a reflection.
Yeah. The question is is it possible that that's a fake?
Yes.
Reflection?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, it would be good to get a panel of people going on this, but I think it is. They made it. And then
meaning, do you think they're still on a set, but they make it look as if?
I do. I think either they put, you know, it's not a reflection at all. It's just on the other side of that glass pane rather than a reflection, I think. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. No, that's always fascinating. So, because again, as we know, they film the shot from the outside and the shot from the inside separately.
Yeah.
You know, they don't put them together. So the whole idea is to try and make it as plausible as possible. So it is, you know, there is a possibility that the outside to inside shot was on a set, and that the inside to outside shot could be somewhere where they really are seeing the trees outside.
Right.
Or it could also be on a set.
Right.
Right. So here, I just look it up. So the Scouts were founded in Germany in 1929, and then in 1938 was when they banned it. So that actually even changes even more drastically what I thought before about Werner. Because if Werner, so if this is 1944, that's only 6 years, opposed to the 7 years that I thought before. Because tomorrow he'll discuss that he goes into the Hitler Youth at that point.
Yeah.
But you know what? Why don't we discuss that more a little bit tomorrow when we get to that? You know, we'll give people something to think about overnight about you know, how old Werner might be, and about at what point in his life he was in the Scouts and what point he was in the Hitler Youth.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Why don't you tell everyone once again how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is the best way. Dana Nachman, NACHMAN.com.
All right. Great. You can get in touch with us by email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. Our Twitter handle is greatescapemxm. And you can visit our Facebook group, The Cooler. So, Dana, you want to come back tomorrow and finish off the week?
Sure.
All right. Excellent. So, until tomorrow, everyone, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.